new CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
After picking up midweek wins in the Champions League, Man City and Liverpool return to the domestic front where the margin for error is zero. Old boy Frank squares off against Chelsea. Carlos circles in on fifth top five league titles. More twists and turns are expected in the race for the Scudetto, and Celtic and Rangers dust themselves off for another round in the Old Firm derby. I've got Jonathan Johnson, Jimmy Conrad for company. The Keigo Lasso weekend preview begins right now. Everybody, welcome to Keigo Lasso. Keigo Lasso pod on Twitter, youtube.com/Keigo Lasso. We have passed 11,000 subscribers. Thank you so much. Help us get to 12,000, of course. And let's welcome in soccer, in Jimmy. They both come together beautifully. Jimmy Conrad, how are you, brother?
I'm doing great, LME. Great to see your face, as always. And JJ, kind of. I'm just kidding. I see JJ all the time. No, JJ, always great to see you and to talk shop with everybody. I just want to give a shout out to the Seattle Sounders. They played in the CONCACAF Champions League leg one. I love that it's a two-legged Champions League final, by the way, in CONCACAF. And we never really get luck. I say we is like an MLS, entity. We never get any luck in the Champions League final. And we got a little luck last night, thanks to VAR and the referee. So shout out 2-2 after leg one, goes back to Seattle next Wednesday, and I'm hopeful they can do the business. First MLS team to win the CONCACAF Champions League. Galaxy did it with the CONCACAF Champions Cup in 2000, but they didn't have any FIFA Club World Cup action at that time.
That's right, my friend. History awaits for Seattle Sounders. Fantastic stuff as they host Pumas next week. Jonathan Johnson, how's it going, buddy?
Hey there, guys. Great to be back on with you. Well, kind of great to be back on with Jimmy. to be honest, I thought he was baiting you, LME, with the snapback.
I know.
I should have, put it on backwards.
Yeah, please show it.
I got it.
Wait, but what?
Gotta love that rave green.
Oh my god, you look even younger.
Jimmy Conrad skateboarder look. You're gonna go and graffiti something downtown.
I'm that Steve Buscemi meme, you know.
Jimmy, I loved you in Dennis the Menace. I thought you were
great. Thank you very much.
Jimmy Conrad, Jonathan Johnson, welcome everybody. Keigo Lasso pod, our weekend preview. We have a lot to discuss, of course, including the Premier League. Some tasty games there, as well as Real Madrid closing in on their title in La Liga before they have to face off Man City for hopefully another cracker in the Champions League. Serie A madness, of course, the Old Firm. And some final thoughts from these two lovely gentlemen. Before we get going, I did want to just bring this up. I wanted some thoughts from yours, from these two gents, as well as my own, I guess. But I did want to open it up. Listen, we're taping this on Thursday morning, Eastern time, really early morning, West Coast and afternoon in Europe where JJ is. And obviously, the last few hours have kind of been insane. By the time you listen to this or watch this, it's probably a Friday, so a lot probably has happened since then. But reports came out that super agent Mino Raiola passed away. He died, literally confirmed by many, many reputable places. Everybody was tweeting it, posting it, including our own work of establishment, by the way. So I retweeted it. Reputable places were talking about this. Then a few moments passed, and then other reputable reporters say, no, it hasn't been confirmed. And obviously Mino Raiola himself, at least his Twitter account, also countered the original news that he had passed away. I wanted to just bring this up, guys, because less about, obviously, I wish Mino Raiola the best in terms of his health and hopefully he recovers, sending my wishes to him, his family, his loved ones, of course. It's really less about that part and more about how we are just living in a circus, man. Like, and I'm not pointing fingers. I'm literally part of it. And we're just accountable to all of this. It's insane, Jimmy Conrad, how immediacy has become so important. It's a very important news value. I get it. But at the cost of trust and accountability and attribution. I feel like we need to really take a step back because things are just, they're just insane. I mean, it's too much for me. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, yeah, it comes down to journalistic integrity. So when some of these outlets are putting this out there without getting official confirmation, that's troubling because they seem to be thirsting for being first as opposed to being right. And that is something that we have to count on when you have a blue check mark next to your name on Twitter in particular or whatever, that you're right. And I don't know why you have to be first there. I mean, what does it change? I mean, yeah, you might get a few more likes, you might get a few more retweets, but if you're wrong, then it's going to really blow up in your face. And that's what's happening right now, not only to maybe one of the originators of that information, but also the people that are following through, which is crummy because you're relying on these people that are usually normally spot on, maybe not always spot on, but close to it. I'm talking about Tancredi Palmieri, I think, is one of the first. And I know Tancredi and you know, he does put out some dodgy tweets sometimes and it's, you know, he's just trying to maintain his reputation as a behind the scenes guy, you know, and I'm sure our Fabrizio Romano has surpassed him and then some by like 100 times, but it's tough. It's a tough space to be in, but that doesn't mean that you need to try to reach for things that aren't true. And that's a little bit disappointing. Now, obviously thoughts with Mino Raiola and that he's only 54 and is potentially very close to passing away is really sad. And there's a lot to unpack with his influence in the game as well. And I know not a lot of people are a big fan of agents in particular, but that aside, the whole the journalistic integrity stuff is really disappointing that there was a lack of it with regard to this news.
Yeah, and well said, Jimmy. And obviously, as I mentioned, by the time you watch or listen to this, many more developments will surely come. But to me, Jonathan Johnson, and I wanted to just bring it back to you, was because, you know, you are a very reputable journalist for not just the resume that you have, but you work for CBS Sports. And of course, and how do you see this, the difference between living and working in an environment where immediacy is massive? We need to get that news out because it helps us understand how the audience can develop a certain level of trust in us. But at the same time, you know, wait for the actual attribution. I feel like sometimes it gets lost, that kind of integrity. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I just want to start by echoing Jimmy's thoughts, you know, where he said, you know, thoughts with Mino Raiola's loved ones, you know, those closest to him. He's got a great professional team around him. So thoughts with them as well at this difficult time. He's obviously in a very tough place right now, fighting for his life. And, you know, I think as well, these moments are kind of, you know, some of the most challenging when you are a journalist of repute. You know, credit to Fabrizio, our colleague, for reaching out and trying to establish, you know, what actually was going on. I mean, I think when these kind of things happen, there is always a temptation, you know, sort of to be the first one to break that story, as we've established. I mean, it's not just, you know, sort of since my time starting with CBS Sports, like having worked for a number of outlets over the years, I've seen how these kind of things can work when a story lands on the desk that's not necessarily been verified, you know, and there is that temptation to run with it, but also that need, you know, to verify it. And I'd say, you know, if I had to be keeping account of the number of times the obituaries could have been published for people who hadn't actually died yet, it is quite crazy. It's also quite sad that these things are prepared ahead of time, you know, sometimes decades in advance in some cases. But I do think it is important when you have that ability to be, you know, an insider. You know, Jimmy mentioned Tancredi earlier, you know, we've got our own Fabrizio Romano as well. When you have that ability, you know, to reach behind the scenes to retrieve the actual truth about something as serious as this, it, you know, it really is important to use it in that way, you know, because I think it's very easy to sort of be first to say like a transfer story or I don't know, a manager getting fired, something like that. And, you know, playing with somebody's, you know, life, it, you know, because it is a very, very sensitive subject and one that has to be handled, you know, with utmost care. And unfortunately, it seems like a lot of people out there have let themselves down with this one today. You know, and fingers crossed, it's something that, you know, we can manage to fix moving forward to get greater accuracy, greater responsibility in there.
Yeah, well said to both of you. We're going to move on. Just my final thought is this, everybody, which is something that Jonathan literally just said just now. Just empathy is something that sometimes is getting lost right now. Just imagine being a loved one next to, it doesn't have to be Mino Raiola, anybody, right? Just think about the consequences. I think Twitter is a very serviceable tool. I literally teach this at journalism school, but like sometimes we need to just sit back and understand that our actions, you know, have consequences, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you so much. Yeah, go ahead.
A lot of people ask me all the time, why do I spend so much time on Twitter? Why do I prefer it to stuff like Instagram or Facebook or whatever? And I find that, you know, when I have something to say, it's the fastest way to reach your audience. And there's a lot to be said for that. You know, it's just really important to, you know, to take care with these things, you know, to be in tune emotionally, which unfortunately a lot of people aren't on Twitter, you know, but also, you know, how would they feel, you know, or how would they like it if, you know, the shoe was on the other foot and basically their life, you know, was being turned into a bunch of memes, which is, you know, what happened today on Thursday in reaction to Mino Raiola's situation.
Yep. Well said, my friend. All right. Well, let's move on, everybody, and let's talk about the weekend of action. And once again, we all conclude by wishing the best to Mino Raiola, his family, his loved ones, and everybody around his close circle. All right. The Premier League, everybody, continues, of course. And let's focus on the title race from obviously, you know, we know that Man City and Liverpool remain the two headliners here. And Liverpool traveled to Newcastle United. So it's a great thing. We didn't even do this by coincidence, Jimmy Conrad. We wanted to make sure.
Amazing.
So, and then Leeds host Manchester City. But Newcastle, Liverpool, Newcastle looking good recently. Top half of the table, Jimmy Conrad. Look at it. He's so smug about it. All right, talk. How do you see this?
Because I don't know. I'm just looking down at your Aston Villa right now, and I'm like, wonder what that's like down there. Yeah. But and you know what? 93.
Who invited Jimmy?
93 days ago, the team was currently in 19th, and now they're in 9th. They've won 7 out of their last 10. I feel like Eddie Howe deserves the title of Sir Eddie Howe. What's interesting is that the last time they played Liverpool was in Anfield in December, and they lost 3-1. Kind of an uneventful game in general. The better team won, and this was before the January transfer window, before they picked up a couple key pieces, Target, Burn, Bruno Guimarães. But what happened in that particular game that really changed, I think, the complexion of their season was Joe Linton being moved to central midfield. That's when Willock and Sean Longstaff were healthy, and Eddie Howe's like, I'm going to put him at midfield, and he has been... I mean, it's been incredible, his transformation from a kind of hapless striker that they paid $40 million for like one of the top number eights, in my humble opinion, in the Premier League. I mean, when you look at since 2022 started, only two teams have bettered the form that Newcastle earned in the Premier League, and it's Liverpool and Manchester City. That's it. And then it's Newcastle. So Joe Linton's been a big part of that. And for a while, he was playing so well in the middle of midfield that Bruno Guimarães, our big signing, didn't even get to play for 5 games. You know, didn't even, it's crazy. So that was a really important moment the last time we played Liverpool. What's also interesting about Newcastle is that they play Liverpool this weekend, play Man City next weekend. So they're in a really unique position to have a pretty impactful influence on who wins the title race and who doesn't. I mean, they're probably going to fold in both, but who knows? You know, I mean, you don't really know.
It's a test for Newcastle United. We've seen how well. I mean, who would have thought it, Jimmy Conn, Jonathan Johnson? Who would have thought it? The richest club now in the history of the globe is doing well. Wow, amazing, huh?
Yeah, exactly. No, really, didn't expect that. I don't know if it's me growing up in the British school system, but I just feel like Joe Linton is somebody that I could have gone to school with years ago in England. But I think it's, you know, it was a great tactical switch. You know, sometimes you see these and it you know, completely changes the complexion of a team. That's definitely something that's happened with Joel Linton. And, you know, I think as well, once Newcastle kind of got that monkey off the back of their disappointing start to the season and managed to start putting it together, there was always a talented squad. I mean, obviously they added some important pieces in the January transfer window, but there was always a talented squad that was probably better than the league position it was in when Eddie Howe was brought in. And I think it was just a question of breathing a bit more self-belief into that group. Admittedly, I didn't think that they'd go on this tear and get themselves into the top half of the table and potentially finish there, which is what they're looking at between now and the end of the season. But to have them as potentially the best suited team to come up against Liverpool and Man City and have a meaningful say in the title race was extremely unexpected, but also very exciting. Because, I mean, you know, you look at the form that Liverpool and City are coming into those clashes with Newcastle in, you know, and Liverpool, I mean, okay, I know that they just disposed of Villarreal, had a moment of magic featuring Salah and Mane, but they really struggled to break down that Villarreal side, you know, for the most part of 50 minutes or so. And I feel like this is not going to be an easy game for either Liverpool or City. There's definitely potential for somebody to drop points in these two games.
All right. Well, quick predictions, Conrad Dino. I just realized that's what you wrote on your. Newcastle.
Yeah.
Conrad Dino.
My heart says a draw. I think Newcastle at home are going to be difficult. +350 is a tremendous value. But given the fact that Liverpool over the last 11 days beat City to go to the FA Cup final, a trophy they haven't won under Klopp, then they beat United 4-0, Everton 2-0, and then finally did dispatch Villarreal, even though they were really the only team trying to win that game. I think Villarreal were hoping to win that game, but Liverpool were actually going out there and making that happen. They've been tremendous over the last 11, 12 days. It's going to be hard to slow them down, but I think that Newcastle could keep it close. So my head says Liverpool to win by a goal. That's +255.
Yeah, I think the Villarreal match has prepared Liverpool well for this, and I think they're just going to grind out the victory. I don't know whether to go for a 1-0 or a 2-1, but I think that Liverpool will win it just by a goal, you know, just keep the momentum going with the result. I think all of the criticism that we've seen of Villarreal over the last 24 hours or so was pretty below the belt. I don't think that they merited that. You know, they're in the Champions League semi-finals on merit. They had some key unavailabilities, certainly in attack with no Gerard Moreno. You know, and I think people still, they're acting like this tie is already decided. It's definitely not over. I'm still expecting some magic in the second leg. So we'll see if Liverpool can maintain this momentum. I think they're just about going to get it done against Newcastle, and then we'll see how they fare next week against Villarreal.
Yeah, well, this is going to be a tough game. So I think definitely a one-goal differential is definitely the way to go. Newcastle, by the way, are winless in 10 Premier League meetings with Liverpool since a 2-0 win in December 2015. So we will see, specifically as Liverpool continues to get that quadruple sorted out. All right, very, you know, let's quickly, Leeds host Manchester City, though. And Leeds, you know, they're not out of the woods, doing well under Jesse Marsh. The results have been positive, but now they face a Man City who equally, Jimmy Conrad, just like Liverpool, are looking to win this title and continue, of course, into the Champions League. What do you think?
Yeah, they want to control their destiny, Manchester City, very similar to what Inter Milan had till they completely botched it yesterday. I know we'll talk Serie A here in a little bit, but Jesse Marsh, they are unbeaten in their last five. They've only given up 4 goals in their last five. They have 2 consecutive clean sheets. I mean, he's definitely turning it around on that side of the ball. Now, the last time they played City, they lost 7-0. So, you know, and the fact that he's changing the identity defensively is very important. The problem is the last 2 wins for Leeds, it hasn't really been very aesthetically pleasing, but it's grinding out these results. It's going to be tough for Leeds to get anything from this, other than maybe there's going to be a heavy rotation for Manchester City, because obviously the semifinal is still in the balance with a very slim 4-3 lead against Real Madrid. And we've already seen what Madrid can do at the Bernabeu in leg 2 with all the magic they're pulling out, Benzema and Modric in particular. So I think there's going to be a rotated squad. I think City are going to do the business here. It's just a matter of, you know, who's going to start and who's going to finish. I have City to win and Raheem Sterling to score. You can get a little same game parlay on Caesar Sportsbook, who's our partner for all this stuff. That's +120. That's kind of what I'm looking at. I think Sterling will get the start, and I think he'll be eager to prove that he wants to be in the 11 for Madrid for the second leg.
Yeah, I'm fancying City for this one, but also at the same time, you know, there's a couple of hours between that Liverpool game and that City game, and that's a really good opportunity for Liverpool to put a bit of pressure on City. I mean, okay, City are one of the few teams that you would expect, you know, to not crack under that kind of pressure in this sort of situation. But you never know; it's not an easy game on the road. Again, I think this one's going to be a narrow one. You know, maybe a late burst to finish 2-0 for City, something like that. I can't see it being a cricket score.
Well, you know, regardless of that, I think the sentiment remains for both sides. They need to keep on pushing. It will be interesting. These are the key games, the ones in between important matches in the Champions League, because equally they have a title to try and fight. Quick predictions here. Jimmy Conrad, Leeds, Man City.
Without Patrick Bamford, it gives me some pause with regard to whether Leeds can score. I'll say 3-1 City. I'll give Leeds a little something, but I just don't think they're going to have enough.
Yeah, it's like it's like Real missing Benzema with no Bamford. I'm going to go for City 2-0 Leeds.
All righty. Well, I think I might agree there. All right, the rest of the Premier League action. By the way, we are recording this before Manchester United against Chelsea on Thursday, which is obviously important for both sides. So we have Everton against Chelsea. That's the Frank Lampard derby.
You also have the Lukaku derby too. He did
that.
He did
oh my time. God! Very good
he
point.
Did, he did spend
Conrad.
Some time at Goodison Park.
Well, it's how he made his name in the Premier League. Absolutely right. Yeah.
I'll jump in on this one and just say that Everton are also going to have the benefit, because they play on Sunday, of knowing what happened in the Watford Burnley game. Which is going to be important, obviously, to maybe how they approach it. I mean, they got to win no matter what, but it could spur them on if Burnley are very good and for whatever reason have Watford's number over the years. But say they drop points, and that just could spur on Everton, like, all right, this is our moment. And obviously, there's more than enough narratives for Everton to go get a result against Chelsea. It was 1-1 between these clubs earlier in the season. So if Everton can kind of play like they did, or try to play like they did against Liverpool in the first half, where I thought they were really organized, their energy was up for it. They did create one or two chances where they could have maybe nicked a goal there. And if they can kind of channel that and maybe play a little higher up the field, then you know, the Everton team, very similar to Newcastle. They have something. You can see their talent, but their back line is a little suspect. So I don't know how this one's going to play out. It's a bit of a coin flip, but I'd wait to see what the Watford-Burnley score looks like first before maybe you make a wager on this. But Romelu Lukaku to score anytime plus 140 is something I'm looking at, because he scored a lot of goals in Goodison Park, so why not get another one?
Well, give me a quick prediction before JJ jumps in, because we got a few other games.
Yeah, I'll say you know, I'll give Everton a draw here. That's I'll say 1-1.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. JJ?
Yeah, it feels like we're edging towards last chance saloon territory for Everton, yeah. Because I feel like every time we're talking about previews, we're just basically saying they need an unexpected result like the win against United a couple of weeks ago. So I'm going to say Chelsea get the business done here. I'm going to go for 2-1.
All right. Well, that would mean extra anxiety for Everton fans. All right, two other games, by the way. Watford and Burnley face each other as well, but the one that I really wanted to just conclude in, or anything else before we wrap up and take a break, is West Ham against Arsenal. Obviously, we're taping again before West Ham's big game in Europa League, but this is big, obviously, as they continue to climb up that table. Maybe a little bigger for Arsenal, because this is really their only focal point, Jimmy Conrad, but regardless, I mean, it's a big one for both sides. How do you see it?
Yeah, this is tough. I think there could be some type of drop-off after West Ham having to play against Eintracht Frankfurt, who I think that's going to take a lot of energy. Eintracht are going to make you run around a little bit. There's obviously some type of commitment to try to get to the final. That would be a big deal for that club and David Moyes. Arsenal, after having a bit of a loss, 4 out of their last 5, they've now won 2 straight, putting themselves back into position to secure that 4th spot. They beat West Ham earlier this season in December 2-0. I actually like Arsenal to get a result here, with all due respect to what West Ham's doing. I just think when you're in between, if you're that in-between game, two important legs in Europe, sometimes you're distracted as to the fine details of trying to get a result in the Premier League or domestically or whatever you're playing. So I like Arsenal to kind of ride their momentum. They've kind of started to shore it up again defensively, and Nketiah has been a nice breath of fresh air. I didn't say that one right. And so, you know, as long as he continues to play with that type of confidence, it creates other opportunities for the other players. And I like Arsenal to to win this by a goal.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Arsenal as well. I think that West Ham are at that stage in the season where they know that the Champions League is beyond them now, and they know that they have a strong chance, you know, of qualification via the Europa League. I mean, I don't think that they'll consider it done by any stretch of the imagination against Eintracht Frankfurt, but I think that they'll fancy themselves over two legs to at least get to the final, and I think they will give it everything. I mean, we've seen them resting players recently. We saw Declan Rice coming off the bench against Chelsea recently, and I think that West Ham will probably approach this this game in the same vein, not forgetting that, you know, they've still got that 3-point advantage over Wolves as well. So I'm fancying Arsenal for this one. It'll be tight, but I think they'll get the victory there.
Yeah, well, stats don't help because West Ham are unbeaten in their last six Premier League home matches, but the Hammers have also lost more Premier League games against Arsenal than they have against any other team in the competition. So something has to give. I just think the singular focal point of the Premier League for Arsenal is probably a helpful thing in this situation. I'm going with an Arsenal win as well. All right, final thoughts in the Premier League before we take a break. JJ, I know where I'm going, but what do you think? Where are you going, JJ?
Yeah, I mean, apart from JJ's contract extension, obviously Jacob Ramsey I'm talking about. Apart from that bit of brilliant news, it's been pretty grim for Villa fans recently. So obviously I'm praying for 3 points, which would mean that we can put any relegation fears to bed. Don't want to put Dean Smith under any extra pressure, but you know, we really need the points just to finish up our season with no sort of on the seat of your pants action.
Yeah, I'll jump in as well before Jimmy jumps just on the Villa thing. You know, we need a victory here. We need it. I want Emiliano Buendia to start. I want some action. It is sad that it could mean that we send Dean Smith and Norwich down, but there's nothing bigger than the club. So let's get those 3 points. Jimmy, where else are you looking at? Do you want to join the Villa train?
No, that's a sad train. I'm going to stay off of that. Tottenham versus Leicester. Okay. Is the game I'm looking at. Obviously, Leicester's going to be playing Roma in the Conference League semifinals, so we'll see how they do. But then after that game, Tottenham needs it. They're 2 points behind Arsenal. They got Leicester, then they play Liverpool away at Anfield, and then it's the North London Derby. So they're going to want to keep within touching distance of Arsenal so they have a chance to leapfrog them in that game, and they've got a couple tough ones leading into that. Now, following the Arsenal game, they got Burnley and Norwich. So they got to feel, at least on paper, that they can get the 6 points to finish the season. But it's going to be these next two to set up that North London Derby if they're really going to vie for that fourth spot. So that's a game to watch for sure.
I love it. Well, that was the Premier League for the weekend. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, Real Madrid, the chaotic Real Madrid, are looking to close in on getting that title in La Liga. We'll also talk about some madness in Italy as well. The Old Firm Derby, final thoughts, and that will be it. Weekend Preview, Kegel Lasso, Jonathan Johnson, Jimmy Conrad, LME. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Que Golazo, our weekend preview. Jimmy Conrad, or Conradinho, as I should say. The other legendary JJ, we have two in the Villa Faithful Club as well, and LME over here. Of course, we've talked Premier League. Let's talk La Liga here. It's Real Madrid, and a point is all they need for Ancelotti and Los Blancos to get this done, and they face Espanyol. And Ancelotti, by the way, nearing a top five record here, okay? He could be a manager of winning the title in five leagues. And here, as you see the table, if you're watching on YouTube, Real Madrid closing in clearly ahead of everybody else. Commendable for Barcelona to be in that situation. But regardless, Real Madrid, 78 points, by the way. Before we get into it, Jonathan Johnson, Carlo Ancelotti, he'll surely, Real Madrid will get this done. Greatest club manager of all time?
I mean, I definitely think he's got a strong argument for being one of the best club managers, certainly of modern times. I mean, there's very few, you know, who can really hold a candle to him, you know, perhaps a Jose Mourinho in his prime. But no, Ancelotti's definitely one of the elite coaches. And it's really, it's quite nice to see, you know, what's going on with him at the moment, because he had a couple of difficult postings where, you know, you started to sort of ask whether he'd maybe lost his touch a little bit. Bayern Munich, Napoli, Everton, you know, none of them going sort of the way that he planned. And then that return, that unexpected return to Real, and he's suddenly getting what he didn't manage to achieve in the first time around with Real. So happy for him, happy that he's managed to sort of underscore, you know, that top dog reputation in the managerial game. And, you know, I think it's, you know, he is, you know, one of a kind.
That's an irrefutable stat. I mean, the fact that he will now have won all five of the top European leagues is pretty incredible. And I think it speaks to his ability to adapt to different situations, to different cultures, to different styles of play, and still find ways to have success. Pep Guardiola obviously will be in that conversation, having done it in Spain, Germany, and obviously, and many thought that he couldn't do tiki-taka, like you couldn't play that style in the Premier League, and he's proven that to be quite the opposite. So he should be in the conversation. Sir Alex Ferguson, more of a, you know, did it with Aberdeen, which was not easy, and actually won a European title with Aberdeen, and then went to Manchester United, and obviously his glittering record speaks for itself. But the fact that Ancelotti went around Europe and did it is quite impressive. Now, obviously, very similar to Pep, he's inherited some amazing teams and had some money to spend on some players. And when we saw him, this is kind of what we wanted from Pep, too. Like, can he do it with a mid-table team that kind of struggles a little bit? And Ancelotti couldn't really do it with Everton, you know? So you just kind of wonder.
No, I mean, he was kind of on his way, but then he was like, Real Madrid were holding like a piece of candy. And Carlo Ancelotti was like, okay, I mean, I'll go here.
Everton, obviously, in a lot worse situation when they got Rafa Benitez and now Frank Lampard in. But with regard to Ancelotti, yes, but he wasn't going to go like scrape for titles or any of that type of stuff. So I don't know. It's interesting. It's an interesting conversation to have. I know we have games to break down, but fair play to Carlo. He's a fantastic manager, and obviously he's done it at the Champions League level as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, this is why we do this show. We like to keep the conversation going, because I did have one intriguing question as well. Back to you, Jimmy and JJ, you chime in. Des Norris is nicely done on bringing it up, but, you know, Pep Guardiola, we have been talking about him, right? Man City, Bayern Munich, Barcelona. Could he keep going? How long do you see him in Man City, do you think?
Oh, I think he's going to be done in a couple seasons, maybe less than that, maybe one or two. I think it depends on whether he wins the Champions League. Mm. The guy still hasn't won a Champions League without Messi and his team. So it feels like he's on a mission to prove that he can do it. And once that's accomplished, and he's definitely got the players, and he's now have a lead in the semifinal to help that out. I don't know. I feel like he wants to be potentially a national team manager. That might be his next step, but maybe it's too soon for that.
I mean, his Catalan blood might never really, you know, care of Spain.
I don't see him going to France. I don't really see him going to France. I don't think it's competitive enough.
You know what I think?
I think he'll be.
He likes New York City a lot.
He does.
I'm just saying.
They got to get out of a baseball stadium, and then I think.
Look at Jimmy trying to get a rise out of me. You mean that Pep wouldn't like to reunite with Messi and try and win the Champions League next season? Is that what you're telling me?
Pep to do it with Saint-Étienne, okay? And if he can do it with Saint-Étienne, then maybe I'll.
Would you like that, Jonathan Johnson? Pep Guardiola at Manchester.
Who wouldn't like Pep? You know, coming to play in their backyard and you know, taking over their team and trying to lead them to continental glory. Do I ever think it'll happen? I mean, at some point in the future, maybe, given Pep's links with Qatar, but I don't think it'll be in time to win the Champions League with Messi. I don't think it'll be his next move either. I mean, if he is going to target that the top five, he's going to have to make a return to Italy, where obviously he spent some of his playing career as well. So that might be the next step for him, but there's no obvious landing spot for him there either. I don't see where would be the clear place for him to go next, you know, outside of the countries he's already coached in.
I really hope he just decides to pick like a League One team or something. That would be incredible.
Well, he fielded questions about that recently when he was talking about Bielsa, and he said, if I had been in charge of Leeds, they'd probably still be in the championship or something.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. Yeah, Brescia for the Scudetto. That's right. That's right. Well, I mean, listen, let's move on because Real Madrid's winning this, right? Yes, Jimmy?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think what's interesting is that they only need a point. And for them to do it at home in front of their fans, I think it's important. I think they're going to rotate the squad, though. I think you could see Lunin in goal. He's only playing the Copa del Rey for them. Vasquez will probably come in. Vallejo. Like, there's a couple players that are younger that don't get a lot of minutes. But now that with Rudiger coming in, like, Vallejo now has to play well. Like, these guys have to play well to either stick with the team for next year or put themselves in the shop window so they can make a move. Rafa Marin is a fantastic young player, probably the best young player in their academy right now. Then you got Camavinga is going to get some valuable minutes. Danny Onions, also known as Arsenal legend Danny Ceballos. You got Isco, maybe his last season with Madrid. And then Rodrigo, Bale. I can see Bale getting a start here in Asensio. So they're going to have talent on the field to go out and get a result. And all they need is a draw. And I think they're going to do it despite losing to Espanyol earlier in the season, which was the first time that it happened in like 25 years or something, which was the same week they lost to Sheriff at home, if you remember.
So give me the prediction.
I'll say 3-1 with a young. If that team rolls out, there obviously won't be as much familiarity. Raul de Tomas has been a revelation for Espanyol this season, scoring a bunch of goals, not just this season, but over the years. And I could see them getting one, but I think Madrid will want some revenge. 3-1, Madrid.
Yeah, it's going to be Ceballos, Camavinga, Isco in the midfield. That's what
Yeah.
JJ, what do you think? They take care of business here, don't they?
Absolutely, I expect them to. I also think that Ancelotti will, you know, try to be smart in his management here, keep as many players fresh as possible for the City game, given that they still have quite a good chance. I certainly fancy Real to score at least once against City next week at the Bernabeu. So I think as well, it'll be really interesting to me. I know where I was banging on about his importance when we were doing the post-match pod, but I think he needs to give Casemiro a few minutes at some point in this game, probably towards the end, maybe like a 20-minute run out if he can, because Casemiro's return to the starting 11 for that clash with City will be absolutely vital. I think they get the win here. I'd say 2-0, but I think it's all about preparing the players for that clash with City.
All righty. Anything else in La Liga before we go to Serie A, everybody? I mean, I think the top four will probably stay as it is. Jimmy, anything?
Betis have their silverware.
Oh,
now.
That's right. Well done,
Jonathan. Getting back in.
Good point, my friend. Good point. Jimmy Conrad, anything on La Liga?
No, obviously Barcelona is in a bit of a tailspin after everybody kind of thinking, they turned it around. They've righted the ship. They're going to win the Europa League, and it hasn't gone that way. And this is, for me, Xavi's first legitimate crisis of form, given the amount of talent he has and given how well they were playing and now how well they're not. So I'm very curious to see how Barcelona perform this weekend. And then Betis and Real Sociedad, Villarreal, are all pretty close. Villarreal obviously have a lot to think about, but they need to stay somewhat relevant because it doesn't look like they're winning the Champions League. So they're 3 points out of that last Europa League spot behind Sociedad. So that little section right there is really important in the table. So we'll see how all those teams perform.
JJ, anything on La Liga before we move?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't think that there's that pressure there anymore on Betis, so it will be really interesting to see what Villarreal do, whether they decide to go all in on that second leg against Liverpool, trying to make something magic happen, or whether Unai Emery tries to, you know, make one last push in the league to get back into Europe for next season.
Yeah, well, they travel to Alaves, as you said, that Saturday early kickoff as well. All right, well, Scudetto. Is there going to be another twist in the race for the title in Italy? By the way, in case of a tiebreaker, it's head-to-head points if both matches have been played, then head-to-head goal difference, then goal difference as well. As slightly different in Italy, but AC Milan looked at this Inter game midweek and were like, woo, baby, but does anybody want to win this? By the way, and AC Milan have the head-to-head advantage, by the way, as we take this. But Jonathan Johnson, AC Milan, surely this is it. But they host Fiorentina, who lost big midweek as well to Udinese, who actually in turn face Inter Milan. What do you expect in Italy, Jonathan?
Yeah, some real poses there. So I imagine it's probably going to go against, my logic, my dubious logic when I'm looking at these games. This is a huge opportunity for Milan. I if you'd asked me sort of before the game how I thought Inter might drop points, I'd say that they maybe drew that game against Bologna, so at least were within one point of Milan. So, you know, for them to lose, you know, that is a real...
On a goalkeeper howler. By the way, Perisic should never have thrown it backwards, but off the throw-in. But anyway, different conversation.
Okay, but that's like, all right, Perisic, what are you doing? But I mean, that was a horrific mistake, was it not?
I didn't know who he was throwing it to. Was he throwing it back to his defender, or was he throwing it back to the goalkeeper?
Regardless, it was terrible.
I get it, but there's like a domino effect of bad decisions in that whole thing, and it starts with Perisic's throw-in.
But I think it ends with the keeper.
I get it. No, of course. I don't want to...
Well, chime in, Jimmy. I mean, AC Milan, surely this is it, right?
Yeah, but when you look at their schedule, it's not easy. And I think Inter have the better run out. They have to play Fiorentina, who are going to be embarrassed. Fiorentina's tripping up to try to catch Roma for that Europa League spot. And losing 4-0 at home to Udinese is embarrassing. So I think they're going to be a response from Fiorentina. There was 4-3 between these two teams earlier in November in the season. So they know how they can score goals against each other. That was with Vlahovic, though, with Fiorentina. So take that into consideration. Milan know that they have it here. I think they can get past Fiorentina, whose heads are down right now. But they have to go to Verona, not an easy place to play. Then they play Atalanta, who are actually better away from home than they are at home in Bergamo. And then they got Sassuolo away. Like, those are four very, very tough games. And when I think about what Inter has, now they have the Coppa Italia, so they have to play Juve in the middle of their last four games. So that's something to take into consideration. But they have Udinese, Empoli, Cagliari and Sampdoria. And when we look at those four teams remaining with regard to what Milan have, I think Milan are going to drop points. And I think the fate could be back in Inter's hands at some point, but they have to actually go out there and perform as well. And they can't have those slip-ups like they had against Bologna.
Do they drop points in this one against Fiorentina?
I don't think they will. I think Milan will do the business here, but I worry that they could drop them somewhere else. I think it could be against Atalanta, who have just had a 4-4 game midweek. Sassuolo away, maybe that last game of the season. It just could be squeaky bum time in that last one. They might not show up. They seem to struggle with the teams that they should beat. So these are all really tough challenges for Milan. But if you want to be champion, you got to win these games, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think they're definitely a few trap games in there for Milan. And it wouldn't surprise me to see the pendulum swing at least once more between now and the end of the season. I mean, another factor as well could be depending on the situation at the bottom of the table, Salernitana, if they continue to keep their push going up, you know, Cagliari may well be desperate for the points when they come to face Inter as well. So that's another thing to take into consideration. But I do expect both Milan and Inter to win their games this weekend.
Well, one thing is for certain, the chaos continues in Serie A, which you can watch exclusively on Paramount Plus. Anything before we move to the old firm, Sampdoria against Genoa, that's the Derby della Lanterna, and Juventus against Venezia, who, by the way, Zanetti has been fired as well. Anything remaining there, Jimmy, from Serie A before we move?
Just bummed about Venezia. I mean, they were kind of hanging in the middle of the bottom half of the table, and it looked like things were on the up and up. They were going to have kind of some Brentford vibes. Like, you could see they had some talent, and they went and got Nani. And, you know, we have a couple Americans there with Tanner Tessman and Gianluca Busio. So you wanted to see them stay up. And I know it was a bit fortuitous. I actually really randomly play with one of the minority owners. I play a little five-a-side every Sunday near my house, and he is a minority owner, so I get kind of some of the insight
humble
behind the scenes.
Humble brag there, humble brag.
Is it? I don't know if it is or isn't, but yeah, I guess it is. I'm flexing. But
it is.
He just felt like they were quite fortuitous to get promoted in the first place last season, and everything they were playing with was house money. But once you kind of get a taste of Serie A, and you get a taste of the top division, and you know, get to travel to Milan and play the big clubs and Turin and all that stuff, it must be pretty intoxicating. So for them to not have won, I think they have one win in their last 15 games. It's pretty disappointing because they were hanging around for a while, but it looks like they're going to go down. So sad days for Venezia. They do have the best kits in all of Italy, though. So I guess that means something. I don't know.
I think they had a few dubious decisions go against them as well, you know, which never helps. I just feel like, I mean, I remember when I was still doing the power rankings before we had Francesco Porzio come on board with us. And I just, there were times where I thought, you know, could they maybe do a little bit better with somebody a bit more capable than Zanetti in charge? You know, Zanetti, you know, a good coach within his own rights, sounds like he's going to, you know, land on his feet and perhaps be the man charged with taking Parma back to Serie A for next season. But also at the same time, it kind of feels like maybe if they'd made that change a little bit sooner, I don't really see the point of making the change now, kind of hoping for that, you know, last minute managerial change bounce that you've got with like Burnley and clubs like that. I think if they were going to make that change, if it was really in the works, it should have been done a while ago.
Agreed.
All righty. Well, let's move on and let's go to the Old Firm, which, by the way, you can also watch on CBS Sports.
Yes.
Sunday, 7 a.m. Eastern, Celtic against Rangers. What a game. And again, we are taping this before Rangers have to face Leipzig in the Europa League semifinals. Jonathan Johnson, Jimmy, chime in. Who has impressed you the most this season? Postecoglou or Van Bronckhorst?
I mean, I think Van Bronckhorst inherited quite a complicated situation in replacing Stevie G. I know many people felt like Gerrard left Rangers in the lurch, you know, but he had done wonders with the club and built them up over the last couple of years. I liked, you know, Leipzig sort of taking it all the way back to like 10 years ago or so in the build up to that game against Rangers in the Europa League, where they were saying like where they were both were like 10 years ago. Leipzig was still in the fourth division of German football and Rangers were all the way down at the bottom of the Scottish pyramid after restarting. So, you know, that's quite a nice way to look at that game coming into this one. But for me, I feel like it comes at a really bad time for Rangers because this is a crucial game if they really want to harbour any more title hopes. Postecoglou has, you know, Celtic, you know, performing much better than we've seen them be in the last couple of years. And I think that this injury crisis that Rangers have in attack, you know, may well be the difference between these two sides. I mean, it's not going to be a complete failure for Rangers. They've still got the cup final to look forward to because they knocked Celtic out of that to reach the final against Hearts. So there is still potential silverware on the horizon there. I just think it's going to be a difficult couple of weeks for them, both against Leipzig and Celtic here.
Yeah, it's tough. This is a great conversation and a good question to ask because I think there's a lot to admire about what Van Bronckhorst has done in inheriting a team from Stevie G, though having an identity when you're a manager, you want to put your spin on things as well. And getting a nice win in the Scottish Cup in particular to get to the final, they still have to win that, but a nice run in Europe as well. Something that Stevie G really failed to do with this Rangers club, despite the talent that he had assembled. But I feel like, Postecoglou, yes, thank you for that. He is the first Australian, by the way, to manage in one of the top leagues in Europe. So that's a pretty big deal. But last season for Celtic, they didn't win any trophies. It's one of the rare seasons they didn't win anything. They got second in the league, got knocked out in the League Cup in the second round, Scottish Cup lost in the fourth round, bounced in the Champions League qualifying, group stages in the Europa League, and they lost their top scorer. Edouard went to Crystal Palace. So the fact that he had to now figure out different ways to inherit that situation, and now they're going to win the Scottish Premiership despite whatever happens in this game at the Old Firm. I mean, they're very, very close to making that official and very similar to Madrid. They just need a point, I think, to secure that. And they did win the League Cup already, so they're going to have some silverware to show for it. And I think that I'm actually a little bit more impressed with that because he was a bit of an unknown quantity that they were going to trust this guy, despite his wealth of experience with Australia's national team and the Australian League. I think he's really won over a lot of people and got the most out of that club. Now he can maybe kick on and say, all right, I've ticked these boxes for Celtic. Next year, let's push on and try to do something a little bit more meaningful in Europe. So I really like what he's done, and I'm excited to see what he does in season two with a proper transfer window and really putting a stamp on things moving forward.
Well, what do you expect in this game?
I think Celtic, I could see a draw just to kind of inch their way to the title, but Celtic probably want a little revenge for getting knocked out in the Scottish Cup semifinals. So I think Celtic are going to do the business here.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 Celtic, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was a 2-2 draw. I think there's going to be lots of blood and thunder, as we always come to expect with the Old Firm. But yeah, I agree with Jimmy. Unfortunately, this one's going to Celtic, I think.
All righty. Well, by the way, some Scottish Premiership news. Roy Keane closing in maybe on managing Hibs.
Wow.
This should be interesting.
Those poor players.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, we have reached the final thoughts for Weekend Preview as we say goodbye. Jimmy, final thoughts, buddy.
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to another week of a Texas Derby. Last week, we had FC Dallas and Houston Dynamo competing in Dallas. Houston were in complete control, had some great chances to ice that game and gave up two late goals and lost 2-1. They get Austin FC, who are one of the best teams in MLS this season. And my shout out to my former national team teammate and roommate, Josh Wolf, who's the head coach there. That's another flex for you at LME. And now this game is in Houston. So we'll see what Austin FC has in store, because that's not an easy place to go and get a result. So it should be an interesting game.
JJ?
Yeah, and from France, it's not all over. Obviously, the league title has been sewn up, but there's still the Olympico to look forward to this weekend. Marseille against Lyon, that should be tasty. Lyon fighting for their lives to get themselves into European contention late on. That whole European race is very interesting. Strasbourg against PSG on Friday. But, you know, there's some really informed teams right now. Monaco on a tear, Rennes doing great things as well. So keep your eye on what's going on in that European race this weekend.
I love it. My only final thought will be on the championship. Really exciting there as well. Fulham already gained promotion. They're returning to the Premier League. And it's a battle for that second automatic spot between Bournemouth and Nottingham Forest. Amazing. And they're facing different teams this weekend, but then face each other on Tuesday, everybody. Wow. And this is a huge game. Bournemouth has 79 points. Forest have 76. So, you know, depending obviously what happens in the weekend, that Tuesday game is going to be massive. And below that, Huddersfield, Luton Town, Sheffield United, Middlesbrough, Blackburn, Millwall. I mean, they're all still kind of in contention for the playoff spots. Championships are always exciting. As we look at it's May next week, everybody. My God, is it flying by? You're doing too slow? What do you think?
Yeah, it's flying by. It's absolutely flying by. But it's hurtling to a nice finish in a whole bunch of leagues around the world as we start to look forward to, I was going to say, a summer of a World Cup. We got to wait till the winter. But
I know it's going to be weird. No World Cup in a summer. But hey,
but this I think the transfer window.
You've got the Nations League though.
We do. That's always a close second, JJ. But I think the transfer window is going to be next level this season. So I'm curious to see what happens in the summer.
The summer of strikers per our Fabrizio Romano. And I got Peru on my birthday as well to play, to beat either Australia or United. So we'll talk about that later. All right, Jimmy Conrad, Conradinho. Thank you so much, brother.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, by the way,
pleasure.
Jimmy's in Soccer We Trust. Make sure that you check it out. All USMNT content, MLS content.
Yes, fantastic. We have special guest Hector Moreno coming on the pod today. Has over 100 caps for the Mexican national team. He's going to give us his insight on whether Mexico can make a deep run in the World Cup or losing the round of 16 for the 8th consecutive World Cup. I don't know. He's just going to get into that. I don't know.
I love it. I love it. Hector Moreno is awesome. In Soccer We Trust. And Jonathan Johnson, all his content on CBS Sports, John_Legossip. Anything to plug, JJ?
That's a good question. I can't remember what my last piece was. I think it was dissecting Villarreal's disappointing first leg.
Very good.
Check that out. And guys, just a pleasure as always getting to riff with you.
Absolutely. Up the Villa. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Weekend preview is done. Our World Cup series, by the way, continues. We got a great one this weekend as well. So stay tuned for that. Jimmy Conrad, Jonathan Johnson, LM Echegaray, I, Keigo Lasso, youtube.com/Keigo Lasso. Anywhere you listen to your pod, CBS Sports, etc. Have a great, great weekend. See you next time.
Baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.